So let's understand the types of food services. It can be either centralized, where the main kitchen is there and by the conveyor belt or by the trolleys, etc., the food can be served to various places all over the hospital. And in case of decentralized, main kitchen transport the bulk of this to the ward pantry, and then from ward pantry it will be distributed to the wards on that floor in a way. So the advantages of centralized is there is no need of floor pantry at all. So you are saving the place and the manpower to manage all that. Less number of manpower will be required. Less number of equipments will be required to heat the food and other things. Reduction in error in planning and serving of meals of patients. Supervision will be much better because it's centralized. That person is looking after all of the subordinates. It's usually more attractive, and there are less chances of pilferages, because if at multiple places there is a plant pantry, multiple people will be involved and there are more chances of pilferage of food. While in case of decentralized, the advantage is lesser expertise may be required. Food served will be hot because it's available nearby. It's not coming from the main kitchen, say 10th floor, then distributed up to 1st floor. Unused food may not be wasted because you know how much is needed. Rapport building between the nursing professional and the patients will be better because it is being served there, prepared there. Disadvantages will be expertise required at each level, that is food selection, preparation, processing and serving. So at central place you have to consider all the different wards all over all the floors, and then you have to prepare. Food becomes cold, which is very obvious. Intramural transportation costs may be more, and horizontal layout is not preferred in such cases. While in case of decentralized, the disadvantages are there are more chances of pilferage because there are multiple places where it is there. Then there are more number of personnel required, more space is required, more nurses time will be required, and there are more chances of errors which can occur. So let's understand what are the various physical facilities for a dietary department. One is location. There should be close proximity to the materials management department. Wherever the materials are ordered, material management department, if you can have a close proximity to that, it is better, because as such lot of material is required in case of kitchen of the ward, kitchen of the hospital. Cafeteria, dining hall should be close to the food preparation room. Either you are having a full-fledged restaurant type of thing, or a cafeteria where limited items you are keeping, or there is only a dining room where some food may be taken from home also, and then it will be just somebody should be able to eat it there, or part of it is given from there also. So in such cases it should be in the close proximity, because unless you the preparation room is nearby, by the time it is being served it will be cold, and there will be a chances of more chances of the convenience for serving the food also will be a problem if it is far away. Space requirement should be 50 square feet per bed for 50 bedded hospital, 15 square feet per bed in 500 bedded hospital. As the number of beds increase, you require less a square feet for the kitchen, I mean the cafeteria or the dining room area, because people can come at different timings. Planning considerations, it should be based on number of hospital beds. As we have seen, you require 50 square feet per bed in case of 50 bedded, or 15 square feet in case of 500 bedded. So number of hospital beds, it depends on the type of hospital. Is it a primary care, secondary care, tertiary care hospital? what are the various specialties. If there is a kidney specialty there, then you need diet for CRF. If there is a heart specialty there, then diet for bypass surgeries and all. So you need a bigger kitchen, a more number of staff to have specialized diets to be prepared and all that. So it depends on type of hospital and specialties. How many meals you are serving per day, whether you are serving only the afternoon meal and night meal, or whether you are serving the breakfast, 11 o'clock again coffee with biscuits, and then lunch, and then 3 o'clock again tea with biscuits or something, or again dinner, again at night are you serving the milk and all, so whether you are serving soup and all also along with meals. So it all depends on total number of meals served per day. What are the policies of the hospital regarding the dietary department? Whether all the staff is allowed to eat in the dining room of the hospital, or they are supposed to take care of their own, only the dietary services are given to patients. Whether relatives are also allowed to eat or not. So it all depends on the policy, whether in-house staff, residents, students, visitors, patients, whether they are going to get the food or only some of them are going to get the food. Type of dietary services, whether the food served is vegetarian or non-vegetarian. As you know, some of the non-veg food will require more kind of machines, more kind of equipments, more of refrigeration. Medical tourism, especially if your hospital is in a place where they can directly get the patients from airport. If your hospital is very famous for all over the world and you are getting patients from all over the world, there is a good amount of medical tourism. In that case, you may be having NRIs or other foreigners coming to your hospital. Then you may have to have the dietary service where you may have to provide them continental food and Italian food and various other kinds of food also. So medical tourism, what's the design of the hospital, how it is basically planned and designed, that also will determine whether you have a smaller kitchen and you may have to have a decentralized kind of design, then accordingly you will have to set up the dietary department. And it also varies from hospital to hospital based on the turnover of patients, how quickly the turnover of patient is occurring, whether there are more of daycare services provided in the hospital. In that case, the turnover of patients will be much more, and then probably dietary services needed will be less. Percentage of specialized diet, how many people are there who require specialized diet, how many are there who will need only the balanced diet, how many are there who will need liquid diet. So based on that, and also pediatric wards, you can have a separate formulary room along with pediatric ward where a proper diet can be prepared for children. A special kind of diet which is more of liquid and semi-solid diet can be prepared. So this is how the multiple factors are there which are going to take part while planning the dietary services for the hospital. So let's understand the workflow chart and the layout of this dietary services. If there is a food, can be of two types, can be perishable food or non-perishable food. Both the types are required in the hospital. Say milk, vegetables are perishable food, and the rice, chana dal, tuwar dal, wheat, all those things will be non-perishable food, cereals, etc. First you will have to receive them as per the specifications. Whether these food items are there or not, you will have to inspect them thoroughly to confirm the quality of these food items. So quality control of that is very, very essential. For example, when it is tuwar dal, it is not mixed with kesari dal, you have to confirm that. When you are getting sugar, there are no carbon particles in that, no dust is mixed in that. When there is a rice, there are no small, small stones along with it. You have to clean it thoroughly. Quality control is very important for various kinds of food that you are getting, especially in case of perishable food. You have to see the appearance of the food, whether it appears stale, the odor of the food, whether it is proper or not. Otherwise, you may have to reject at times. So, quality control is essential. Once you have done that, store these food items properly, and if perishable food is there, you may require it to be refrigerated. After that, it will go to the preparation room. Again, in preparation, from preparation room, it will go to the main kitchen or to the special diet area. In the main kitchen, all the processing will be done in the form of cutting the vegetables and cleaning the thing, washing the thing, washing the food the grains and other things, mixing it with the oil or water or some spices, salt, etc. Then in special diet also, based on the special diets prescribed by the dietitian or nutritionist in a hospital, the instructions are given to the chefs and the subordinates to prepare that kind of special diet. So accordingly, they are going to process these food items. Then once it is processed, cooked properly, the tray assembly is done, then it is going to be transported to dining hall or to cafeteria or to nursing units, and after it is being utilized by the patients or the relatives or the staff, whatever leftover is there, it will go to garbage, and then the dishwashing, etc., is being done by the dishwasher or the manually by some of the people in some hospitals. So this is how the workflow chart goes in hospital. As far as the layout of the dietary services department is concerned, here you can see the receipt and storage area on one side, dispatch area, normal or special diet kitchen where preparation, processing and cooking areas are there, and pantry is there where it will be given so that it can be given to the ward patients from the ward pantry. Now, what are the various policies and procedures to be taken care of in case of dietary services? One should have a clear purchase policy, which gives us an idea how many tenders are to be asked for, what should be the quality of these tenders, what are the vendors which are well known, and well experience has been done from these vendors that they are going to provide us a quality food. All those specifications should be given before inviting the tenders. After getting the tender, they should be scrutinized by the experts properly, and cost optimization with quality, right kind of quality food items, and at the right time one should be able to get it, that one has to see to it that, and as per that the purchase order is to be given to the right vendor who has been selected. There should be a clear-cut policy where you are going to have whether the centralized dietary services or decentralized dietary services. Based on the requirement of the hospital, we have already seen the various advantages and disadvantages of centralized and decentralized dietary services, and accordingly, based on the requirement of the hospital, you can have either of the two. Then there should be a policy for type of food to be served, whether you want to serve veg, non-veg, continental, international, etc. If there is lot of medical tourism for your hospital, then you may need continental and international food to be served. If you are having mainly the Gujarati Marwadi people coming to your hospital or Jains coming to your hospital, probably you will need to serve only vegetarian food, or it all depends also on the owners of the hospital, on their principles, on their values, they may tell you that we want to serve only vegetarian or non-vegetarian food. Number of meals to be served with timing, if meals are to be given to all the patients, staff, etc. So one should know how many number of meals we want to serve, whether it is 2 meals, whether it is 3 meals, that's breakfast, lunch and dinner, whether it is in between snacks also are you going to provide or not. So based on that, and what will be the timing for each, whether you want to give breakfast at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, then you are giving some snacks at 11 o'clock, whether you are giving the meal, main meal at 12:30, 1, 12. So accordingly, number of meals to be served with timing of meals. Then one has to plan the menu thoroughly, and for menu planning also you should have the right kind of policy, that every week on Mondays are you serving the same food, on Tuesdays the same food, or you are going to rotate the menu frequently, and what kind of menu you are going to keep, whether only you are going to have the menu for Punjabi type of food, Chinese type of food, the Gujarati type of food, or same type of food you want to serve on all 7 days, or what. You'll have to decide with different items, of course. So you should have the right policy for that. Then whether food to be served to patients only or to the visitors, students, teachers, residents, etc. Whether you want to serve the food only to the patients of the hospital, or even you want to serve it to the students, teachers, if it's a teaching hospital, to the staff in the form of doctors, nurses, other paramedical staff. Then staffing duty rosters, you should have a clear-cut policy about the staffing of the dietary department, their duty rosters, their shift planning, whether all 3 shifts they are working or not, the receipt storage of food, how you are going to receive, who is going to be responsible for receiving all the items, how you are going to store the food, and how is the distribution of meals done. All these policies should be in place. And also one has to see at every level, at the input level, at the process level, and at the output level, all the quality assurance has to be taken care of. So you should have a proper procedure to see to it that quality assurance is maintained. One should have a clear policy for training and development of the staff, that how many training hours per year is needed minimum everybody to undergo that training. You should have a clear policy for pilferage or theft, how you are going to control that, what are the punishments you are going to give in case somebody is caught, whether you are going to suspend somebody or whether you are going to remove him from the job or from the dietary department staff or from outside person also. So all those policies should be there. Then you have to maintain thoroughly all the records regarding your purchase, regarding your distribution, regarding your number of meals served every time, regarding the type of food given, regarding the attendance of the staff, their leave period, their qualifications, experience. So all the record maintenance is very, very important. Then occupation safety measures, what all safety measures are you taking care for the dietary service? Are you seeing for all the equipments, whether they are maintained thoroughly by having annual maintenance contract? Are there any sharp objects which can lead to injuries? Are you taking care of any slippery floors? Whether you are looking after the thorough housekeeping of everything of dietary department? Are you using any obsolete equipments? Are your food handlers being examined every 6 months by an occupational physician, and the required blood tests, stool tests, etc. is being done, and they are given the preventive medicines if required regarding the amoebiasis, regarding any ova in the stools, etc., worms, etc. So occupational health and safety measures you have to take care of properly for your dietary department. As far as the sanitation is concerned, are you looking into it thoroughly, seeing it that all the chefs, all the food handlers are wearing cap, mask, etc.? Are their nails regularly being cut and examined? Are their hairs being tied up properly within the cap? Is it there or not? Are they suffering from any skin diseases? So proper sanitation and hygienic procedures you should know, and you should have a proper standard operating procedures for each and every aspect of that. You should have a planned preventive and maintenance program of all the equipment, so that you have given annual maintenance contract, you have kept the dates ready in front of your eyes along with all the equipments, so that you can monitor that as per the schedule whether the maintenance of these equipments is being done by the service provider every 3 months or 4 months as per the requirement. Now, what are the various equipments of dietary department? Microwave oven, as we know, to heat the food items you need microwave oven. Gas oven is there to prepare the food. Food processors, which are required for various kinds of vegetables to be processed and all. Mixers and grinders again will be required for preparation of the gravy for the food, the juices, the soups, etc. Refrigerators and deep freezers are required for preservation of the perishable food items, milk, vegetables, and if the non-veg food is there, then their products. Meat cutter and meat mincer in case the non-veg food is served. Dough kneader and roti maker, cooker, cooking vessels, idli maker, dosa plate, juicer, toaster, potato peeler, boiler, milk cooker, warmer, aqua guard, RO system for drinking water, dishwasher, water cooler, cooking range, soda maker, coffee maker if you are serving coffee regularly, food trolleys, deep fryer, shallow fryer, and baking ovens. So these are the various equipments which are needed for dietary department. Let's learn about the laundry, linen and laundry services. Well, in a hospital, the linen and laundry service is also very important, as all the textile which is used for the bed sheets, pillow covers, the hospital drape material, the curtains, the operation theater, various kinds of draping materials, the all the during operation also you need lot of linen. So, and for the uniform of the doctors and paramedical staff, all that is very important, because the visual impression of the patients and the relatives ultimately will first go towards the laundry and linen services of the hospital, because it is obvious, it is visible. So it is responsible for providing safe, clean and adequate as well as timely support of the linen to the user units of the hospital. It should be provided at the right time, at the right price, at the right place and the right quantity needed. So what are the objectives of laundry services? First is to provide comfortable and pleasing environment to the patients and visitors of the hospital by supplying clean linen. As we know, the bed sheets, the pillow covers, the curtains, the uniform of all the medical paramedical staff, everywhere various textile linen is required, and if it is absolutely clean, spotless and well pressed, you can understand the image of this hospital in the eyes of the customers, that is their patients, the relatives, the visitors, will be definitely much higher, because this is the thing which is visible, which they can see. Maybe technical services of doctors and nurses, they may not understand much, because they are not the qualified people to understand that. But at least these things are visible. So based on this, they are going to judge the hospital So housekeeping services and laundry and linen services, these are the two important services actually for the patients to judge what will be the competency of the doctors and nurses in a way which they can think of by visibly seeing these services actually. So to control hospital infections, again, laundry and linen is very important to control hospital infections, because if there are any body fluids or any blood which is stagnating, if they are there on the bed sheets, on the pillow covers, on the uniform of any of the doctors or nurses, it will definitely spread this infection to others, and hence one has to see to it that all the linen is absolutely clean, neat, dry and highly pressed. To make uninterrupted supply of linen to the user department, where the breakdown leads to 3 to 4% of cancellation of the operation schedule, if it is not being given at the right time, it will be a major problem for the hospital, because over the period of years many research studies have been done, and if they have found that if the linen supply is not proper, there is a breakdown of this, in that case there is a 3 to 4% of operations being rescheduled just for the sake of inadequate linen available. 3 to 4% of hospital infections are due to mishandling of infected linen. If the linen is infected, if it is not being handled properly, if the bleaching powder is not put it on, the chlorine solution is not put on it, NaOH solution is not put on it right time, and then thoroughly washed and then clean, and then it goes for the further processing. If it is not done, it is likely that even the dry one can spread the infection, and hence in some of the studies it was found that 3 to 4% of the hospital acquired infection is due to this problem. Improved efficiency and productivity will be there by getting the right kind of linen and laundry services, because that will improve the morale of the patient, people, the staff, by looking neat, clean, by good appearance, and by all the linen available for the patient services also perfectly in place at the right time. It will overall improve the image of the hospital. So let's understand what are the types of linen in a hospital which is required. One is patient's linen, bed linen, body linen, where the uniform of the patients is there. The bed linen will be in the form of bed sheets, in the form of blankets, in the form of pillow cover. OT linen, operation theater linen, in the form of the curtains of the operation theater, the bed sheets for the patients to lie down on the operation table, the various kinds of linen required at the time of operation in the form of gauze pieces, the draping material, etc. Then staff linen, the cap, mask, gown, the aprons, the overalls for the surgeons and anesthetists when they go for operation. So various kinds of staff linen will be required. And for housekeeping, in the form of various curtains for doors and kitchens and all. Laundry linen, where infected, soiled, foul and radioactive linen may be there. Since we are in the hospital, there can be infected linen, because blood and body fluids are bound to be there. They can be soiled, because some of the patients may be incontinent. Because of that, there can be foul and foul smelling linen. And since the radiation is given to patients in case of cancer treatment hospitals, there can be radioactive elements also available on the linen. Then the types of linen services can be in the form of rental. Some of the hospitals are getting the linen services based on rental basis, the equipments are there. Some may be contractual, they are giving contract to the outsourcing person. There can be cooperative, where two or three hospitals come together for having a separate linen department for all of them. And in plant system itself, they may be having the laundry and linen system, where the washing is done, the ironing is done, their own people are there to look after all of that. The method of distribution can be topping up. That means the people from laundry and linen department will come to each and every ward and they top up whatever is inadequate, whatever is used up, they'll take away. There can be exchange trolley system in which the old trolley, where it is part of the used and part of the non-used, in separate departments, compartments, is taken away and the new trolley is totally exchanged. There can be a requisition system where every ward, every operation theatre, they are sending an requisition slips to them and accordingly they are issuing the linen. Or there can be quota system, every week this much amount of quota is given to a particular department, a particular ward, particular OT, etc. So these are the four ways in which the laundry or the linen is distributed in a way. Requirement of linen can be there in operation theatre, in labour rooms, in ICU wards, private wards, also for staff. There are 2 to 3.5 kg dry linen per patient per day required on an average. This is what we have seen in studies, that most of the hospital we require 2.5 to 3 kg, 2 to 3.5 kg of dry linen per patient per day in a hospital. This patient can be indoor or outdoor. If occupancy is 100%, then you require 6 set of linen for that. You will wonder how come, why 6 sets of linen is required. One set should be there on the patient's bed, naturally the patient is lying on that. One is for use of next time, when that linen is taken out, another linen has to be put there. One is in process at laundry, one is en route to laundry, and the two sets for work and exigency in stock. Because sometimes suddenly the patient is incontinent, he soils the linen, you will have to change the linen. So in case of exigency in stock, two sets should be kept ready. So this is how one can have 6 sets of overall linen required for patients.